Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All About Entrepreneurs. Well, we're excited that you decided to tune in to the show today. Heard every weekday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, we want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes, get ready to go to another level in your life. Because it's all about entrepreneurs. We have exciting guests who will come and teach you the strategies, the tips, and the tools for you to be a successful entrepreneur. Well, we hope that you enjoy the show. And don't forget, invite a friend. The show is going to be awesome. And now, your host, Coach LaLisa J. Williams.
Good morning, and welcome. Well, it is an exciting day for so many people. And good morning to our top-of-the-line mentor and business entrepreneur, leader, college professor, father, husband, and so many other things. Welcome, Dr. Hayward. How are you?
I'm very well, Lisa. How are you doing this morning? And happy Valentine's Day.
And thank you, and the absolute same to you. I tell you, it's, what is today, Wednesday, Thursday? I mean, oh, well.
This is Thursday.
Thursday. Oh, February, yes, Valentine. Oh, I'm sure as I go down to everywhere I go today, I'm sure there will be lots and lots and lots of Valentine Day confetti or stuff. And I'm sure
there'll be a lot of men like me scrambling to get those last-minute Valentine Day gifts for their loved ones.
Well, they've helped you out this year, I think, so much so that a grocery store, a very big grocery store chain near my area, they have dedicated a whole section for Valentine's Day. And they've, this first time they've ever done that, a whole section, I mean a big section, not one aisle, I mean a whole store. Is like going into Valentine Wonderland, you know. It's amazing. And so if you get to places like that, you won't be scrambling because, trust me, you can have your field day. yesterday evening, and they were setting stuff out fresh. So if you go, as soon as the show is over, if you run out, you'll catch a lot of good stuff. So.
Well, you know, I think that for many of us, that's the only kind of excitement we really get out of Valentine's Day, the scramble. So, hey, why not wait to for the day?
Well, they've made it good for you, you know, just about everywhere you go. So especially if you go to places, you know, like that. And so we want to wish, you know, everyone certainly a happy Valentine's Day with you and your loved ones. And, you know, as a kid, I remember we used to, boy, you had to get that box of Valentine cards, and you had to get to school. And if you didn't get those to school that day, your name was mud.
Oh, yeah.
If you ever wanted to be bullied, boy, you were going to be bullied if you didn't show up with those cards, because you were going to be talked about for the rest of the school year. So-and-so didn't bring cards. They're on welfare. You know, that's what. Today they can't say that because these kids are desensitized by welfare. But when I was a kid, that was you were on welfare. You were in trouble.
Oh, yeah, that was a major stigma.
Oh, if anybody knew it, I mean, oh, man, you didn't let nobody know that. That was a major, it's not a stigma anymore, but back then it was a major stigma.
Oh, yeah. You know, speaking of that, when we think about people who are disadvantaged, even more so, this is what makes entrepreneurship so important. Because entrepreneurship can be one way of lifting people out of poverty. And that's why we have to go beyond the concept of entrepreneurship is solely about business ownership, small business ownership. It really is about applying innovation and creativity to any human endeavor. And you can be an entrepreneur in a community organization, and you come up with an innovative way to develop a program, and not to mention financing it, to actually support the people in a community and to uplift people in a community. That is entrepreneurship. You know, you are a preacher, and I still believe that, and this is not to criticize churches, but I still believe that there are too many days where churches go idle when, in fact, they can be utilized to house programs to uplift communities. I think that we all can creatively do more. And so it's clear with the current environment that we have in Congress and throughout the nation, these real conservative times, that there's not going to be a whole lot forthcoming from the top. If something's going to happen, it's going to be a grassroots movement. And I believe that entrepreneurship can be the engine to get this thing started. We can uplift people. We can not only motivate individuals to utilize their talents, but provide them with vehicles to apply their talents to transform these communities. That's the true power of entrepreneurship. And that's what we need to do more of, transforming these communities.
Yeah, yes, we do need to. And so there are a lot of communities that are ripe and, you know, at that step or at that level or position where you can certainly go in with various types of entrepreneurial programming. I know they have a similar program going on here in New Jersey that's becoming very successful, that is right in an area that has a lot of drugs and drugs, because when you have a lot of drugs and drug dealing on the street, it causes a lot of other issues, because it's so easy for someone to say, you know, let me stand out here on the corner and sell drugs. I don't need no education. Don't have to know any ABCs. Don't really know how to count. Don't have to really read anything. But, you know, the person that's just standing out there. I'm not talking about the person behind the scenes. They actually feel more highly educated. But the person that's just standing out on the street doesn't have to have any wherewithal, really. And it's very sad, and they just stand them out there, and it's very sad. Anyway, so they stand out there, and they can make, you know, not a whole lot of money, but they can just make enough to, you know, get by and not, you know, and so anyway, yeah, but there is a program that here that is working in some communities like that, and I'm actually working with a group of people like that, and I'm trying to encourage them to, you know, to be, well, encourage them to do, like we talked about before, a legal kind of a thing, legal kind of a hustle, but you're right, it takes some creativity and innovativeness to be able to go in and how am I, you, first of all, you got to be creative enough to get individuals who are in their 20s and 30s and 20s and 30s that don't have yet a high school diploma nor a GED.
Oh, yeah.
Because if they're going to be the type of legal entrepreneurs that we're talking about, they're going to at least need a high school diploma or GED.
Oh, and I believe that so many of us who are college educated today don't realize, or perhaps we kind of forget, that there are so many people who don't even finish high school. And we think that at least high school, finishing high school, is quote unquote a natural thing. And the fact is that there is a problem of people not getting the basic educational requirements. And so again, entrepreneurship can lead the way in terms of starting a new movement. You know, we look back to the civil rights movement. This is Black History Month. And we certainly want to acknowledge that. And during the Montgomery bus boycott in 1955, December 1st, Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat on the bus for a white man and was arrested. And that catapulted and motivated the entire community to boycott. The point is that they were able, the community leaders were able to develop a very sophisticated transportation system to get community members to work. And the fact is that was entrepreneurship. They had a problem. They came up with a creative solution, and they achieved their goals. Within 13 months, they had broken the back of the white power structure, and segregation on the buses in Montgomery was ended. And so what we're saying is this. What we're saying is we got problems, we got issues or concerns. There are people that are in need. We can't wait. We can't wait. When I say we, I mean those of us who are concerned about the issues of the disadvantaged. We can't wait for some foundation. We can't wait for some politician at any level. Entrepreneurship is a way for us to get started. And let me also say this. It's a funny thing when you can do your own thing. Everybody wants to jump on the bandwagon. It's very much like the, and I tell my kids in the classroom this all the time, it's very much like when you need a loan. The person who goes to the bank who needs a loan can't get one. The person who goes to the bank and doesn't need the loan gets money thrown at him or her. And the bottom line, when you can do your own thing, other people want to be a part of that success. And the reality is that part of gaining you're talking about independence and at the same time achieving the goals of these distressed communities is being able to start your own programs, not wait for permission, and you can do that with entrepreneurship. That's innovation and creativity. We can do that, and there needs to be a movement. There needs to be a revolution. That's why my partners and I are holding a series of workshops We're starting off in Virginia Beach on October 18th and 19th, and then we're coming to Newark and on November 1st and 2nd. And for those of you who have some interest, I want to encourage you to go to entrepreneurshiprevolution.wordpress.com. Again, entrepreneurshiprevolution.wordpress.com. We got to get this thing going because we can't wait. Day before yesterday, the president gave a dramatic and powerful State of the Union address. And yet, there are those who oppose him who can't even get behind some very simple things like making sure that every preschool child gets a good education and making sure that something as basic as having a decent minimum wage so that people who are working hard can pull themselves out of poverty. These are the types of things we can't wait for. We can't wait for the people at the top. We've got to start here at the bottom. And we do that with entrepreneurship and creativity, creating our own employment opportunities. Uh-huh. How does that happen? We have to sit down and creatively look at some things. You know, a lot of times in a lot of places, what you have is what sociologists and demographers often call is a spatial mismatch. That means that people live in a place where there aren't jobs or jobs or opportunities, and yet there are other places where there aren't the people. And so oftentimes, to be more specific, oftentimes people who might live in the inner city can't get to jobs that are in the suburbs that they can do. And oftentimes the transportation routes deliberately don't go those places. Well, how about community leaders developing their own transportation system, just like during the Civil Rights Movement, and getting people out to the suburbs where those jobs are?
Well, you know, Dr. Horton, it just sounds to me, because I've thought about those kinds of things, and I have, I was a job developer in Newark for about probably 6 months. But it was very intense because I saw close to probably 500 clients in that short amount of time.
Uh-huh.
who were on the welfare system, and that's when they had first started the renewal of the welfare to work program. Because I contest that it's always been there. They've always wanted people on welfare to get training and get off, but the big reform came, or the second or third big reform came under President Clinton with the welfare reform in 1997, and I was working with a program that year, and my job was to get individuals off, you know, get them jobs. And so it was through the college, and they would come there, and they would get some basic training, education, some language arts, some math type classes, and then some personal development classes. And then I would go out to neighborhoods like Roseland, New Brunswick, these type of neighborhoods you're talking about that were not in there, wasn't around the corner from where they live.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and what I do know is that, especially like in a place like this, now maybe some states it may not be this good, but I'm from Cincinnati, so the same thing was pretty much there. But there are buses that do go to a lot of these places, but they only go, like, certain times of the day. They know they're not going to go there all day long. But they will go there, like, a rush hour between a 7 and a, if you're planning on being late for work, no, you can't work in that town. Because they don't have buses that come there after 9:15 or 9:30.
Mm-hmm.
Don't start. So a lot of what's the problem that I personally saw then was the empowerment. And I still see a lot of it today. It's what the people just don't know. And sometimes not all the time, and I'm not excusing what government does, but sometimes they say no to stuff that is already there that you're not doing.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Come on. You already have this stuff out there, and just because you don't get the information to the people, now somehow we got to pay for that? Come on. No, it's time that we start really empowering people for real and letting them know the real deal.
Absolutely.
And I'm not saying anything, you know, that's no deference to or nothing, you know, to negate what you're talking about. Absolutely, we have to, but we're saying the same thing, I know, is that we got to get the people in the inner cities, in the communities, in some of the hardest hit towns, and get them to get the information to the people who need the information the most, whether it's the church doing it, the church members, the leaders of the church, who they don't have time to do it, then the members should rise up and do it themselves. The school teachers, the principals, the lawyers, whoever is in that community, then should try to get to the people who don't have. But anyway, that's just my little spiel for you.
But you're making a very powerful point that there are often programs that people either don't know about or aren't taken advantage of, and basically there needs to be a greater effort not only to get information out, but also to make sure that those programs are run more efficiently. And you're right, there's always going to be, and that in of itself, believe it or not, entails to entrepreneurship too. There is a need for making sure that these programs work right, meaning they do what they're supposed to do. And unfortunately, there oftentimes isn't the type of oversight within government to make sure people aren't, and there are a lot of times people aren't doing their jobs. And so this is where the community leaders also come into play, as you were saying, making sure that we put pressure on these people to reach out to more effectively, and if the program's not working right, we as citizens need to step up and provide them with the insight to make their programs right. Oftentimes, these programs are designed with people who don't really have a clue as to how a community really is or how a condition truly works. And oftentimes, those people in those positions have to be educated. Well, in terms of they have to be made aware of how to make a program fit a situation.
Let me give you a couple of examples. Last night, yesterday evening around 4 o'clock, I went to get some exams printed up in the print shop at the college in the inner city where I teach. Now, they have a huge print shop. So as a job developer at that time, my job was just to get people a job. And I was, you know, I used my creativity and went anywhere and everywhere. This was 97. Well, one of the young men that we didn't have many men in our program. It was mostly women. But one young man, I placed him in, what we did was the college itself, you know, had on the books or whatever of how many people that they could hire, you know, because of the fact that they were, maybe that was part of the grant. I don't know. I didn't read the whole grant, but I placed them in several departments within the college. I placed several people, but not many of them got a job. It just didn't work out. That's another story. But two young men that I placed, and when I say young, I mean they were at that time they were in their 30s and close to 40s, but they, one in the print shop and one in facilities maintenance. So now this is what, we're already 10, 15 years later or so, and it does my heart so good to go to those departments and see those, both of those gentlemen still working at the college with full benefits as any other college employee. These individuals came through the Welfare to Work program, and that's how that program was supposed to work. You went through some training and you got some job afterwards, but those gentlemen, they still have their job. the one guy, we both stand in the hallway and begin to, like, tear up when he tells me about how his daughters were able to go to college because he was the person who was left with the children and had to, you know, take care of them. And this man can barely speak a lick of English.
Oh.
You know, and he was at his wit's end when he came through the welfare department. And they placed him with the AWEP program. He could barely speak a lick. He still can't hardly speak a lick of English. I placed him in the facilities department for his works because they used to have to work to be in the program, and they weren't getting paid. But he worked down there for free as if he owned the place. And now he's an employee, 15 years now, doing well. And, I mean, it's just mind-blowing. So the program can work. These programs can work. But like you said, a lot of times they do not. Now, I left that job to go work at Continental Airlines.
Uh-huh.
And I should have. What companies like that should do when they have an employee that is doing something, they should make that employee find their replacement.
Oh.
Because when I worked at Continental, that's how I got to Continental. The lady that hired me found me because they told her, you won't go. She wanted to go to Houston somewhere. They told her, unless you find us your replacement. And she found me, and she brought me into the company. But that's what a lot of companies should do when they have somebody who has a procedure that is successful. And I was getting people jobs at banks, different places, only because I knew to do like what you're saying. I know that there's a bus route that goes to those crazy far-out suburbs that you don't think, you know, transportation goes to. It goes there, but only for a few hours in the morning and a few hours around 5. They don't want you coming out there all day long.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And, well, you know, that is an excellent story. In fact, I have to confess, this is the first time that I've heard of a company requiring that a person finds their own replacement. And I think that's a very good policy. And, in fact, that in of itself, I think, is innovative.
Yes. No, you had to find someone because they felt that you're going to find someone that's just as good as you, at least, if not better.
Well, that's wonderful. And
they wanted the work to continue. If the person was doing some things that were innovative and creative, they wanted that to continue, not to stop with somebody who might want to go in a different direction. Not saying that a different direction might not be good, but the thing is, we were the type of role we had at Continental in that time was they were rebuilding the Newark Airport, and they wanted to make sure they had someone who was comfortable with going into the inner cities and what have you, and trying to get people trained and get them jobs because, you know, I guess that was part of their, whatever they were working on, whatever kind of program. But see, that's a lot of companies do have these contracts with the government, and they need to hire from within the inner cities.
Mm-hmm.
But you need somebody that knows this. You need that liaison type of person. And a lot of companies, a lot of times they'd rather hire people, you know. But anyway, so that's a whole other discussion. But we definitely want to welcome anybody who, if you have a comment or question, you know, we would relish it. Definitely happy Valentine's Day to you. If you just hit your number one key, I will open up your phone line, and you're welcome to ask Dr. Hayward any question that you might want to ask him about entrepreneurship, about creativeness, creativity. This is your time to do so. And I know, and definitely tune back in tomorrow, Dr. Hayward, just so that you know, we have a very powerful young man out of Philadelphia. He's going to be the guest on our show. You're going to love talking with him, and wait till you meet him. He's an entrepreneur. Oh, my goodness. He's the epitome of entrepreneurship, and he's coming on the show tomorrow, Mr. Rodney Watson. He has a Entrepreneurial USA group. There's a members-based group down in Philadelphia. He's doing big things. He's all over Temple University, and he's really a person I think you would enjoy meeting. But, yes, tune back in tomorrow for that. We want to thank all of our new members to Women Leaders and Entrepreneurs International Association. We have guess what, Dr. Hunter, this Saturday we have our first Entrepreneur Club meeting at Applebee's. We're going to just gather there and network and talk about the radio show, talk about some of the mentoring.
That's wonderful.
Listen, one of my students last night, she's all excited about being an entrepreneur. She's got all these ideas. And we were talking. I didn't get home from my class last night till like 10-something. I'm talking with her class. My class ends at 9:20. And I said to her, how old are you? 23 years old.
Wonderful.
She has many, many ideas. I told her about the radio show. I told her she writes poetry. She writes. She's got a blog. This young girl is, and she's an education major. And I said, well, how'd you end up in my class? She said, well, because I wanted to start some businesses, I didn't know what to really do, so I took your class. I took this class, and I'm so glad I met you, blah, blah. So this girl is on fire. 23, I was like, wow. I mean, she's got idea after idea after idea. And she showed me a thing that she wrote. She wrote her own article that's going to appear in the Forbes magazine when she's 31.
Wow.
She wrote what it's going to say, and I was like, oh, really? Okay.
Well, you know, again, that's the type of person you definitely want to mentor and nurture and help along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Believe me, that's a person like that represents the seeds of greatness in the community.
Well, that's what we're going to keep doing. So we want to hope we'll see you back here, I'm sure, next week, hopefully, or tomorrow. Please, definitely tune in tomorrow. Any comments or questions that you want to present to Mr. Rodney Watson? That would be very helpful, if you're able to. I know you have your schedule very tight there with all the projects that you have going. And, again, with the entrepreneurial revolution, I know that's got to be heating up, and other projects that you're working on. I know you're working on some other things, and definitely, let's just continue the discussion. I had so much comments about, the speech on Tuesday night. I have so much more to say about that. Haven't even touched that surface yet. That was a lot going on there. But so we have so much more to talk about. But happy Valentine's Day to you.
Thank you.
And thank you for tuning in again to another segment of All About Entrepreneurs, the show to help you grow. Dr. Hayward, I have a Dr. Hunter friend. That's where I got that from.
That's okay.
And we'll talk later.
All right. You take care now.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That's right. There's no stopping you now. Well, thank you for tuning in to another segment of All About Entrepreneurs. Don't forget, stop by our website, www.blogtalkradio.com/allaboutentrepreneurs. And visit us on the web at www.release-your-power.com. Like our friend page on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at twitterandfacebook.com/CoachLalisa. If you would like to get in touch with one of the entrepreneurs or one of the guests that you've heard on the show, please send us a request on Facebook or on Twitter or right here on Blog Talk Radio. Well, if you're not an entrepreneur yet, I don't know what you're waiting for. Go out and make it happen. Again, we'll see you tomorrow, same time, same place, for another exciting episode of All About Entrepreneurs. Stay tuned for our conferences, our seminars, and our webinars where you can get further trained as you develop just what you are and just what you want to do. Again, this has been Coach Lalisa J. Williams.